The gospel for this morning is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, the second Sunday of Easter. Beginning with verse 19. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark on the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet who have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Each evening at Luther Heights, we start our campfire worship with what we call faith stories. There are opportunities for the counselors to share how God is important and relevant in their lives. Normally, they're 2 to 5 minutes long, and they recount some experience when they sensed God was real in their life. It might be through a positive mountaintop-type experience where they were filled with joy and gratitude, or it may have been a very challenging time, perhaps dealing with the death of a friend or family member or some accident. What they have in common is that somehow through the experience, Jesus became real to them, and their faith was rekindled or strengthened, and they now more firmly believe that Jesus is their Lord and God. I think that today's gospel reading is one of Thomas's faith stories. Like all of us, he had others. Remember when we first met Thomas after Lazarus had died? Jesus was planning to head back to Judea to raise Lazarus from the dead, and the disciples were trying to talk him out of it. It'd be a dangerous trip because the authorities were out to get Jesus. Then Thomas makes the almost sarcastic statement, "Let us also go that we may die with Jesus." One thing you can say about Thomas is that he's an honest and straightforward guy who speaks his mind. Fortunately, they don't die, and as you know, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Thomas's next faith story is when Jesus is talking about his impending death and ascension to heaven. Jesus asks the disciples if they know the way that he is going, that is to Jerusalem, to die, and it appears that they don't understand what Jesus is saying. Thomas speaks up and says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus replies, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Thomas tells it like it is. He's a practical guy. Thomas asks the tough questions that the others appear to be too scared or embarrassed to ask. Thomas's next faith story is today's gospel. Jesus appears to the disciples in the locked room, but Thomas isn't present, so the disciples find him and tell him that they've seen Jesus. Thomas reacts similar to how the disciples reacted when Mary Magdalene appeared to them and tells them that she has seen Jesus. They don't run out into the garden. We find them hiding in fear behind locked doors. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, must find his sheep. Thomas's reaction to hearing of Jesus' resurrection isn't so different from the other disciples when he doubts that it's true. "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and shove my finger into the mark of the nails, and shove my hand into his side, I will not believe." Thomas wants hard evidence. He wants proof that Jesus is risen. In some ways, it's hard to blame him. He's just asking to see what the other disciples got to see. And why wouldn't he want to see evidence, since his world is in chaos after seeing Jesus beaten and crucified? Perhaps Thomas is not so much a doubter as he is a realist. He's skeptical that Jesus is alive. Thomas's faith story encourages us to think of faith differently. Faith isn't a math problem. The more faith we have doesn't mean we'll have fewer questions. It doesn't mean we won't have doubts. Doubt isn't the opposite of faith, but a component of an active, growing faith. It's okay to be a realist, to bring your questions and skepticism into your walk of faith. Thomas's faith story offers a different picture of faith, one in which faith and doubt are closely tied together. Hebrews 11 reminds us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Faith isn't the same as knowledge. Thomas looks at things realistically. He wants to see Jesus like the others got to see him. 8 days later, Thomas's wish comes true. Jesus appears and speaks directly to Thomas. After Jesus encountered him, he owns his faith and makes the confession that Jesus is Lord, the title reserved for Caesar in the first century. It seems to me that Jesus sought out the disciples and Thomas and met them where they were. He offered them peace in place of fear, and then sends them on a mission to tell others what has happened. But Jesus never sends us without equipping us for it, spiritually. Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit. There's a pattern in John after one encounters Jesus. Andrew tells Peter, Philip tells Nathanael, the Samaritan woman tells the townspeople. Each of these people have their own faith stories, and Mary Magdalene is no different. Jesus encounters her at the tomb, and she shares it with the disciples. The disciples didn't seem to grasp the reality of the resurrection as they met behind locked doors. They're afraid, fearful, until they have their own encounter with Jesus. It seems we all may be like Thomas to some degree. We need our own experiences, our own faith stories of how Jesus became real in our lives. It might have been a church or something that happened in your home growing up, something your mom or dad or grandma said to you. Perhaps Jesus became real to you when you had a child, an experience around a campfire worship, while dealing with some emergency or illness or death. But you don't have to be an adult to have a faith story. A third grade boy was homesick at camp and wanted to go home. He was walking next to his friend as the cabin went to the lake. His parents were camping near the lake, and he could see their trailer in the distance and somebody outside. He told his friend he wanted to leave and go stay with them, but his friend said, "If you do that, then who am I going to hang out with? I don't want you to leave." As it turned out, the boy chose to stay with his friend, and they had a great week. Everyone is called. Everyone has gifts to share. What is one of your faith stories? I invite you to reflect on how you have sensed God touching your life through something that was said, what you experienced, what you heard, or something you saw. Thomas's faith seemed to have moved to a deeper level after his encounter with Jesus, and he made the bold confession of faith to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." What will enable your faith to move to a deeper level? What would it look like? What is your response to the resurrection? What will others hear you say or see through your actions that reveal that you believe that Jesus is your Lord and God? Jamie Soles shares, "In the end, it's not Thomas's doubting or demanding that matters. It's his believing. Everyone doubts. Not everyone believes. Be a believing Thomas. Push as hard as you need to until you're awestruck and move to proclaim with him, 'My Lord and my God.'" The writer of John wants us to be moved to make Thomas's confession of faith. John wrote, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name." John hopes that others will see and hear in our lives that we believe. One of the songs we sing at camp, Mrs. Phillips' Prayer, has this refrain. "Our lives are a Bible for some folks to see. I wonder just what they're reading in me. Are they reading God's mercy and love in my life? Are they reading pain, jealousy, envy, and strife? I wonder just what they are reading in me. While none of us reflect God's love perfectly, the song raises an important question about whether how we live our lives reflects God's mercy and love. I'm reminded of a faith story that a popular counselor shared. Sam's story took place when he was in junior high. His world didn't seem like a safe place. He was the target of being bullied and feared what sorts of things might happen to him on any given day. What enabled him to make it through was that he had two people who supported him. One was a friend who he could confide in and who tried to protect him, and the other was an adult who listened and cared. The bullying didn't stop right away. He still had difficult days, but their caring and friendship made all the difference. Jesus sent the disciples out after he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Likewise, you are sent out with all that you need. You can trust that God will be with you, as the disciples discovered that even though they were behind locked doors, afraid of what the day might bring, Jesus came to them and said, "Peace be with you." Sometimes you are going to be the one who brings a sense of peace to a youth growing up in a changing world, or an adult searching for hope and meaning. God has given you gifts. You have faith stories to share, so that others may come to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and that they may have life now and for all eternity. It's a life that's not consumed by fear, but by God's peace. As Jesus told the disciples, "Peace be with you." Amen.